Here we are again on a Monday as we start a new week together on God Is. And if you've been here, then you will remember that I have been using a camping analogy. Summer is coming, and soon some of you will hike off into the mountains, set up your tents, and prepare to explore the wilderness as part of your vacation. If you're going to do this, it will inevitably involve having a sort of base camp from which you operate. But you will explore from there. Well, that's what we're doing as we study Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. The text is our campsite, but we have taken many hikes from there through other parts of the Bible. Still, at the end of the day, we come back to Romans 1. Well, again this week, we'll go walking across the pages of the Bible, but before we set out, let me reread for you Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. I read from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." This is the Bible's clearest description of the gospel, the good news of God, and shows us with clarity how we are saved from our sins, how God makes us holy. God is holy, 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 but we are not holy. So then, how does God make us holy? He does so through the gospel. And in this passage, we have highlighted four key words. The words are power, salvation, faith, and righteousness. The key words, again, are power, salvation, faith, and righteousness. Righteousness is the word we are focusing on now, and we've talked about the other three, although we will come back and say more about faith soon. Now, before I say more about righteousness, let me introduce this week's broadcast this way. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the power of words. We all know how powerful spoken words can be. Just the other day, I was telling people in my church about a math teacher I had in elementary school. She was one nasty woman, and what I will never, ever forget was the words that she used to demean her students, particularly students like me who struggled in learning mathematics. Boy, she could be mean, and she used her words like a sword. I could, right now, give you her name, and I could tell you what school I was in when this happened. And I could describe with precision our classroom and where she stood and where I sat. If we were in the car together, I could drive you to that school today and walk you down the hall to that very room and tell you all about how her words hurt me and stuck with me. However, I contrast that bad experience in my mind with the kind, encouraging, and uplifting words of my math teacher when I got to middle school. Her name, I will tell you, Mrs. Stafford. Charlotte Stafford. She taught me math, and I began quickly to succeed, whereas just the years before were a total failure. And why the sudden and drastic change from failure to success? Words. Mrs. Stafford used her words to encourage me, to teach me, and to patiently explain to me how algebra worked. Whereas my teacher in elementary school, whose name I will not mention, used her words to tear me down, to make me feel stupid and mentally unprepared for an education. Both women spoke their words to me over 30 years ago, and I still remember them as if they were spoken to me this morning. And you remember words spoken to you. I guarantee it. You really remember the words that hurt you. Those stick to a soul like stamps to an envelope. But I believe you also remember the words that helped you. And that's especially true if mean words are followed by kind words. If someone is mean to you, but someone else is kind to you, then you remember the hurt, but you also remember the help, particularly as they so sharply contrast with one another. My point is this: we all know how the spoken word hurts or helps. But now let's think about the written word. It is powerful too. As you know, I love to read, so I am about to ask a question that I am glad is rhetorical, unless you write to me an answer, because I am certain I will be disappointed with the answer most of you will give me. Here's the question. Do you like to read? And you say, sure I do. I'm waiting for it. On my phone. No, that's not what I mean. I am not talking about reading text messages or emails or headlines splashing across a screen. I'm talking about reading books, and even long books, 200-plus, 300-plus, 400-plus page books. Now what's your answer? I should be disappointed, right? No? Maybe you will surprise me to the upside? You do love to read also? Okay, how about this? Write to me, using words, a quick email and tell me that you're also a reader and lover of books. I will find that very encouraging in the social context in which we live. And yes, I will accept reading books on an electric device such as a Kindle as reading, or should I say an electronic device? I can't even pronounce it correctly. You see, I'm personally wedded to the printed and bound book. In fact, this weekend we went to a library sale. Oh, that was awesome. It's an annual sale this library does locally, and my wife and I never want to miss it. We have a nice haul that will work our way through upcoming nights and weekends. All right, just a little book talk on a Monday, but I do remember what I'm talking about, and that is words, printed words, words on a page, words that an author uses to make us happy or sad, words that move us, shake us, and change us, words that take us into a world that even our wildest imaginations could not have captured by themselves. Words, they are dynamic, and in my opinion, every person should be a reader to some extent. And definitely, you should be teaching your children to be readers, to love books, to enjoy going to the library. I am very concerned, and this is a serious concern, that reading is no longer very popular. And I am particularly concerned about this because the Bible is full of words. The Bible is a book. God communicates to us who He is in words. And so if you're not a reader, or you are not willing to read the words of the Bible, then you will not know who God is. And this is definitely tragic. It is the difference between life and death. It's the difference between heaven and hell. And so at least when it comes to the Bible, we must all be readers of the Word. This reminds me of the little chorus I often hum, Wonderful Words of Life, written by P.P. Bliss. Do you know this? Sing them over again to me, Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their beauty see, Wonderful Words of Life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Christ, the Blessed One, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify us forever. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, they're wonderful words of life. Now, if you know that, it'll be stuck in your mind all day long. And that is a good thing. Now, why am I introducing what I want to talk about this week in this way? Words are very important when wrestling with who God is, because our source for understanding God is the Bible, and the Bible is all words. The Bible is a book, and obviously books use words. You and I have to read it to understand it, and in reading the biblical text, we read about who God is. Specifically, when we read about the righteousness of God, we are also reading about another key piece of the identity of the living God, and that is the justice of God. The righteousness of God and the justice of God go together. They are inseparable from one another. That is, we cannot talk about the righteousness of God without talking about the justice of God, and we cannot talk about the justice of God without also talking about the righteousness of God. And why is this? I have two main reasons. The first reason is that the English word righteousness and the English word justice go together. I will explain this to you. And the second main reason we talk about the righteousness of God and the justice of God together is theological. God justifies us by declaring us righteous when we put our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Let me say that again. God justifies us by declaring us righteous when we put our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And I will also explain this to you very soon. And that is what I will do when we pick up here again tomorrow. But today I want to end by making an announcement, and it is this. During the month of August, I will be in the Boston area and free to speak all four Sundays that month, and or to combine the weekend Saturdays and Sundays during the month of August. If you are someone who needs a preacher or a teacher of the Bible, for example, maybe you belong to a church that is looking for a pastor. That is, your church does not currently have a pastor. Or maybe you are a pastor and would like to take a break. You'd like to take one or two Sundays off from your preaching and teaching ministry. Or maybe you're a person that's in charge of a church retreat and you require a speaker. Maybe you run a camp. Or perhaps you want to offer a workshop or training to a group of people. Maybe you lead a community Bible study and need a break, but you want the group to continue to meet during the month of August. You'll be traveling, and so you would like someone to fill in for you. Well, should this be of interest to you, write to me today and we can discuss it. Just drop me an email and let me know where you are located, what dates you have in mind, and what you would like me to speak on. And tell me perhaps a little bit about yourself and your church or group. I will write back and we can work on details together. This will be for the month of August 2018. The Sunday dates are August 5, 12, 19, and 26. And right now I am free all four of those Sundays. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com. Let me spell that for you. mark@markaswallow.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Tomorrow, we're going to discover how the righteousness of God and the justice of God go together. Do not miss this. Join me again tomorrow, for God is...